cliffcentral.com.
A lot of people asking, is this Sia Sangweni in the song?
This actually does sound like something.
Later, bitches.
If I were to be a DJ, yes.
This would be your opening song. There's quite a lot happening. All right, we got to get to this quickly because otherwise I'm going to be in trouble if I don't mention it. But I'm going to be on Suzelle DIY's show on Comedy Central.
Are you going to be doing something?
Yeah, well, what we do is she kind of just plays these almost like America's Funniest Home Videos.
And you have to react.
We have to, yeah, and then they film you. It's such a dumb idea, but it seems to work.
Oh, yeah, I love those. I watch those things on YouTube.
Because she's really funny, right, Suzelle? And the idea of doing reviews almost of these dumb things people do in these videos, it's kind of funny. So here's just a clip that they used as a promo. So
this looks like something really stupid.
What's he doing, this guy?
He's wearing a football jersey.
Oh, no.
Smashes into TV.
But why is he trying to jump into the TV?
Well, maybe he watched Idols.
Maybe, but hopefully not when you were a judge. That was excellent, I think.
Thank you. Very sweet.
No, I'm serious. Most ridiculous. What a lol. Mondays at 9:30 p.m. only on Comedy Central.
What a lol.
Yeah, so that's happening on what, Monday next week?
I just can't get over.
She goes, most ridiculous.
I can't get over her.
Look. Yeah. I wanted to get her in here, and one of the conditions of her coming in here is I had to go on her show, so we both went on each other's show. So there we go. So Suzelle DIY.
That is fun.
Yes, lots of fun. Check that out on Monday if that's your kind of thing. And then I see a lot of people on the WhatsApp line this morning want us to discuss Unati from Idols, and I didn't even know this was a thing. Maybe it's worth discussing. It's just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com on a Wednesday morning. Apparently Unati and I have not, and people think that I'm joking when I say this, I have not watched Idols. I didn't even watch it when I was on it.
Well, you couldn't, exactly.
No, but I mean you could watch the replay.
Oh, right,
You wanted to. I've never watched an episode of Idols since even before I was on it. It's kind of a little crazy.
Yeah, I stopped watching after you left.
So I don't know what's going on the show. I assume because I saw Somizi this week. And we've got Pure Conversations with Somizi today, which will be really cool. If you haven't heard that interview, well, you wouldn't have because we haven't released it yet. But that'll be tonight with his husband,
Mohale,
which is very cool. Yeah, and the two of them were very open about their relationship, about fame, about the things they do in their spare time, how grumpy the other one gets with, you know, it's like any relationship. And the two of them are very upfront about it. So Mizi's always been one of my favorite guests because he doesn't hold back. Anyway, I don't know, but I assume that the panel's still the same. And Unati apparently made some comment which pissed people off because it was on the night of the Springbok victory. And there was that theme going around about how Xhosas are responsible for everything and the rest of South Africa owes them a debt of gratitude because they're the best people. You know, this kind of racial superiority shit, which I know people get very touchy about, but I really couldn't care less. And Unati's probably joking.
Yeah, let's just put that disclaimer right up front. And the reason why this was a recurring theme, because even just coming from social media, was because it was all in jest. People were laughing about it, going, well, Siya Kolisi is now the head boy of the country. Yeah. Look at how great he is. And like, Xhosas are just saving the nation. Right. It was a funny ha-ha thing.
Now, if you are the kind of person who gets upset by that, you're probably the kind of person who's looking for offense everywhere. But let's just give Unati a go here. You can hear it in her own words. This is what happened on the show. Someone sent me a clip, so this is from Idols.
On behalf of the Xhosa people who are tired of holding up the nation, from Datukani to the sun in Black Panther, to Miss South Africa, to Siya Kolisi winning the World Cup, to Unati, published author, we are happy that we finally have someone from the Eastern Cape in the finale.
All right, I mean, that's the kind of shit that we all used to say on Idols all the time. Just to, because you run out of shit to talk about with these contestants. Frankly, a singer's a singer's a singer. What are you going to say? And she's trying to make content out of something there. Mm. She's sitting in front. Poor Runati's been around there as long as I had been when I finished with the show. Eventually, you just, I mean, she's got to make it entertaining. And I don't believe she's actually saying, you know, that she even referred to her own book in there or something. So she's joking.
Yeah.
People get upset about this. She had to apologize and.
She's taken the apology down since because people further had issues with her apology.
Oh, yes.
Her apology was along the lines of, I'm sorry if.
It saddens me that I have broken so many hearts with what I said tonight. What I saw was a beautiful joke being passed around the past week by so many South Africans and not necessarily closer and wanted to share. I was wrong and I shouldn't have. I'm sorry if I have hurt your feelings.
Yeah, then people said, oh, why if? You should just apologize because in she's general.
She should know what's going on in your stupid, insecure head, that this isn't an if, that it definitely hurt your feelings. She should know that because she's your mommy. And you have a horrible life, and suddenly it's Unati's fault that you're miserable. You know, people trying to find someone else to blame. Anyway, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
And then what really drove me up the wall was that someone said in their comment, let me find this idiot and just give them the moment in the sun that they're desperate for. Here it is. This is, I have to scroll onto goddamn Twitter, which I don't even do anymore. So some guy called Ngoma B said, Gareth Cliff was removed from Idols because of a similar case. Now this ignorance has to be dealt with too. Well, first of all, I wasn't removed. You may remember I had to go to court and I beat Mnet resoundingly in court and then was forced, they were forced to put me back on the show, which was embarrassing for them. So I don't know about what you mean by removed, but clearly you don't remember. I'll just help you to fill that gap in. And then ignorance, it's a joke. You're an idiot. And this person who's doing this typically has 67 followers. So, you know, again, this is what happens when you let morons loose with a smartphone.
Yeah.
So good for Unati that she said that, and I can't believe anyone took it seriously. What else is going on? Let's get into some stories that matter.
Have you heard recently of the opportunity to buy houses in these gorgeous villages in Italy for as little as $1 or even just over €1?
Is that stuff for real?
Yes. So what's been happening is that over the past year or so, a whole lot of small towns in Sicily, in the south, all the way to the Northern Alps, have been offering these bargains in the hope of attracting new residents to revitalize dying communities.
Because no one wants to live there?
Well, it's just, you know, people either don't have money anymore, everyone's under financial pressure, so... And a lot of these places are kind of derelict and they need renovation. And it costs a lot to renovate in Europe, especially up in the mountainous hills of one tiny village. But, you know, there's a story now of one person in particular, a couple, actually. They're called, as a group, they're all called the €1 citizens. The locals call them that. But CNN caught up with this couple in particular, Morgan Guillot and her husband, and they've just completed or almost completed renovations to their home in Musumeli, which they bought for €1.
Wow.
And it looks beautiful. They're happy as anything. So it is a thing and it is happening and it is continuing.
I think that would be a great thing to retire to.
If
you're like an old couple and you've got a lot of money, because even if you buy the property for €1, you still got to renovate it and fix it up, and you're not going to find work there, so you have to have money to live on. But what a place to retire to.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what this Belgian businessman Patrick Janssen did. He picked up a more superior dwelling at a bit of a higher price, which didn't need much renovation to it, and he's retired there.
I like that.
So, yeah, it's all because of the media coverage of the cheap homes and the prospects of making this life-changing move.
Well, imagine also living in Italy. You know, you have your sort of quieter, the back nine, as they call it. You play that in Italy. Fantastic.
Mm.
All right.
So if you do hear an opportunity for something like that, it's real, it exists.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. You can buy a house for €1.
Fantastic. All right. So if you're looking for some place to go and retire, if you're old and you have cash, go to Italy. Very nice. Give you a 1 euro house.
And a 1 euro new lifestyle.
Yeah, and you get to have like a whole bunch of Italians working for you for very little as well.
Yeah, sounds amazing.
It doesn't sound like there's a lot going on in these towns, so they need the work. Oh, Francesco, would you mind terribly moving the wheelbarrow around the other side of the house? Very nice place to retire.
Yeah, well, hopefully it uplifts the community. I would love it.
Oh, yeah. In Italy with your cats.
Yeah, I'd love that. Somebody who's not very happy or retired at the moment is Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah, didn't he launch his book?
He launched his book, but it was a disastrous book launch.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hmm.
So he was booed from the moment he stood up until eventually he was rescued by an ex-girlfriend, actually.
Sure.
It is his girlfriend.
Oh, she's, I was going to say, what ex is ever going to save you?
She eventually had to stand up and save him because people were booing. There were proper protesters in the audience.
Oh, man.
And as they said, we wanted to ask questions about immigration and about Christianity. And that these protesters are known as the American Firsters. Anyway, the booing got so bad that his girlfriend, excuse me, had to step in and save him. She stood up and she said, "You're not making your parents proud by being rude and disruptive."
Yeah, I don't get this. Why would you go to someone who you hate's book launch and then disrupt it?
Because people are doing that
but
now.
Just don't buy the book, you douchebags. Really, I don't care. I'm not going to read Donald Trump Jr.'s book. Donald Trump Jr. has done nothing in the world except be Donald Trump's son. That's all he's done. Why would anyone want to read his book? That doesn't mean you have to go and disrupt it for everyone who does. I hope this book is a runaway bestseller now, just to piss off those people who went to disrupt it. I have no candle for Donald Trump Jr. I don't like the guy. All I know about him is he hunts big game in South Africa and he does trophy hunting. Charming. I don't like that. And this guy has written a book.
Triggered.
Yeah. About being Donald Trump's son, right? That's his book. That's what he's written about.
That's what it's called.
You don't like it? Don't read it. But what on earth possesses people to go and cause chaos at this book launch?
Yeah, no.
They're the same people who would say, and this is why I stand, I think this is a matter of principle. You know, when the Ayatollah said he would have Salman Rushdie killed, he said there's a sentence of death, a fatwa, mm-hmm. against Salman Rushdie. Now, I never read the Satanic Verses, but I support Salman Rushdie's right to write down anything he wants and sell his books all over the world. And Salman Rushdie happens to be a very potent force for free speech in the world. Now, you can't support Salman Rushdie and not support Donald Trump Jr.'s ability to write a book too. You don't want to buy it? Don't buy it. That's how you can protest. And it's directly proportional to how important you are in the world. In other words, if you don't buy a book, but 100,000 people do, guess what? You're not important.
You know, I would love to be a fly on the wall in the Trump kitchen table on a Saturday morning. So as much as, yes, they have a lot going on as a family, but I'm sure there's like some sibling jabbing and them taking the piss out of each other, because Donald Trump Jr. is 41 years old.
What's he done with his life?
Well, let's cut them some slack as well. I said from the beginning,
Ivanka has done things. She has a clothing label.
But they also, he and Eric, have worked in the Trump family business for a long, long time.
So that's like me saying I've lived with my parents until I'm 40 and now, you know, I deserve your respect.
No, well, I did say from the beginning that, you know, you've never seen the Trump kids involved in any like nude scandal.
No,
they didn't tumble out of the club, and I still hold that up to them. But here's the thing. So Donald Trump Jr. is 41 years old. And he's dating Kimberly. This is the girlfriend who also got heckled in the process. Kimberly is 50 years old.
Oh, wow. She's older than him, huh?
Cut to our first lady, Melania Trump.
Yeah?
who's 49 years old.
So Donald Trump's son is dating an older woman than Donald Trump is. That's amazing. Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Wow. I'm pretty sure his brother takes the piss out of him for something like that.
What a family.
Right?
That's very interesting.
And also, they aren't exactly alike, but I think the Trump men clearly have a bit of a type. If you look at this Kimberly and if you look at First Lady Melania, there are just certain traits that they both have.
Mm-hmm.
It's like brunette, long brunette hair, ample boobage.
Well, somebody said, this is interesting.
I was trying to be respectful.
I never watched The View, but Sean says, you have to see Donald Trump Jr. He tore into the panel of The View. The interview's on YouTube. It was fantastic. All I saw was a headline where Joy Behar was basically saying to the crowd at her own show, she was saying to the audience at her own show, The View, this is not a MAGA rally. Shut up. Yeah, which is not a good sign.
I think The View started just slipping in standards when Whoopi Goldberg needed to pee during the live show.
Oh, yes.
Did she take a pee right there?
She had to run off set because it's a live show. And, women of a certain age, sometimes, you sneeze incorrectly and you could have a disaster on your hands.
Whoopi.
So it was a live show. And
wow,
in the midst of
pee, huh?
discussing topics, Whoopi says, you know what? I'm sorry. I can't even hold it in anymore. I got to go.
Whoopi Goldberg had to rush off to take a pee.
Whoopi.
Ah,
very nice. Wow.
That's really smart. Oh, and related and also unrelated news, Whoopi Goldberg is going to star in Sister Act on Broadway.
Oh, really?
Totally random news.
She's kind of lost the plot a bit, hey?
I like Whoopi. I have no problem with Whoopi. I've got to put that on the record. I think she's great. She's always been great. I loved her from... Didn't she win an Academy Award for Ghost all those years ago?
I think she's an EGOT.
Yeah, she's got the Emmy, Oscar, and Grammy.
And Tony Award.
And Tony as well.
Yeah.
That's
quite a feat.
She's spectacular. Good for Whoopi. Even if she's a little bit older.
And she needs to pee.
Yeah. I mean, your bladder doesn't give a shit who you are. You could be a big celebrity and your bladder doesn't care. There's a story here that I thought I'd mention, Leanne.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Riet. She says, my kitten Oreo was bitten by a big ginger cat last night.
Oh, no.
And is now in surgery. I need a hug from Leanne.
Oh, shame. Must have been a stray. Not a stray, but obviously not her cat.
A nasty old tomcat.
Oh, shame.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not cats have nine lives. Don't worry. He'll pull through.
Yeah, he's still got a few more, I'm sure. If he's
definitely.
A kitten. All right. What else is going
so
on?
So Facebook is apparently secretly using your iPhone's camera as you scroll your feed. So I've seen people putting a little bit of tape on their camera on their laptops.
Uh-huh.
But
Dory does that here. She's got a little sticker over hers.
Yeah. But apparently iPhone users specifically, it appears that Facebook might be actively using your camera without your knowledge while scrolling your feed. The issue came to light after a user by the name of Joshua Maddox took to Twitter to report the unusual behavior, which occurs in the actual Facebook app for iOS. In the footage he shared, you can see his camera actively working in the background as he scrolls through his feed. The problem becomes evident due to a bug that shows the camera feed in a tiny sliver on the left side of your screen. And when you open a photo in the app and you swipe down, apparently the issue has been reproduced independently.
Hmm. Do you care about this? Because you famously don't give a shit what information
they have. What are they going to look at? My face.
Well, sometimes don't you sit topless when you're scrolling?
Mm. And what are they going to do about that?
Often you've switched on your camera by mistake while we're chatting. See your enormous breasts on the screen.
What's that towel contraption you've once described you
were? Oh.
Yeah, the towel tits.
Yes.
The ta-ta towel.
You see?
That's right.
That's it. That's what they have on you. I'm just shocked that Facebook is this sloppy with so much on the line.
They're very sloppy. Yeah. They're very sloppy. I don't think they care. I mean, they're making so much money at the moment.
unless they can find some sort of a loophole to defend themselves. Like, this is what you agreed upon in the T's and C's, but this is very sloppy.
Go ahead, Facebook, film me. It's fine. I just don't. This whole privacy thing is such nonsense.
But on the other side of the scale, you could fight for it. That's why I mean they have so much on the line.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
Like, you could sue, I don't know, on some ground, the bejesus out of them.
But I mean, if the technology exists, it might be a good thing for tracking criminal activities, you know? So it might be a good thing.
Well, I don't know if I want them. Yeah, look, I'm really torn exactly half and half on this, because half of it feels like a really big invasion of privacy. And the other half is, I don't care, and all of our stuff is public anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. It is Whoopi Goldberg's birthday today, Anstanton.
Oh, look at that.
That's a useful bit of info from Fatima. Isn't that cool?
How did Fatima know that?
I don't know. She's very on the ball. And Sean coming back with a bit of an update on what happened on The View. Apparently, Donald Trump Jr. went on The View. He called them out on their hypocrisy. Whoopi was gulping at one point. You can read about it in a Piers Morgan article.
Mm.
Yeah, because Piers Morgan is a big Donald Trump fan too, right? Piers Morgan is a huge supporter of Donald.
But they knew what they were getting themselves into. That's what I feel like is sickening about the times that we're living in now. The View knows what they're doing when they get someone from the polar opposite side of the scale politically, and they know that everyone's going to be fired up. This is what they want.
Yeah. Look, you got to interview authors. We often have authors in here. I mean, I've got an interview lined up with Ronnie Kasrils at some point. He's written a book. Now, I don't agree with any of Ronnie Kasrils' point of view about his political leanings, and I'm not just talking about the ANC. I'm talking about his stance on Israel, for example. But you get the guy in, and you let him have a say, and you let him talk about his book. And if you argue, you argue a little bit. But you don't need to be inhospitable and rude. Otherwise, why invite people into your space? So if you're going to invite Donald Trump Jr. onto The View, then at least be civil.
Well, this is different already, because the current state of The View has Meghan McCain, who's John McCain's daughter, mm-hmm. as part of the panel.
Yeah.
And
she does not like the Trumps. Because remember, Donald Trump said those horrible things about John McCain.
Yeah, but she's very right-wing, as opposed to the rest of the panel.
She hates the Trumps, and she fights with the rest of the panel about conservative points of view all the time.
You see, and already that's how they saw me surviving, which I feel like is it's a bit outdated.
Sad. It's a bit sad. Okay, anything else you want to throw in quickly?
Just that when I opened my laptop this morning, the news story that greeted me first was this picture of a chimp with his fangs hanging out. And the headline reads, "Chimps are killing people in Uganda. It broke off the arm, opened the stomach, and removed the kidneys."
Those things, I've said it before. Ooh. Do you remember when we went to Chimp Eden?
Yes.
We met that one chimp who was insane.
In Mpumalanga. Yeah. Yes.
Do you remember him?
But that's because of their background. A lot of them are from circuses.
Right. He was actually tested on in a lab. And he was a real deranged
nutcase of a chimp. Isolated.
Right. Very dangerous. And he was a shit stirrer.
Like, he was throwing stones at us. We had to duck behind. That was on, I think, on a different visit, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, he was a crazy chimp, and I was fascinated with him.
Yeah. You loved him the most. But, I mean, chimpanzee pets are known to have ripped off people's faces.
Mm-hmm. The face ripper chimp. There was that story about that woman in California somewhere.
Face ripper chimp?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So apparently chimps are attacking people in Uganda. It's part of a disturbing trend going on in the country that has led to death, has led to crop loss. Apparently, it started in about 2014 when a chimp fatally attacked a two-year-old child, stealing the baby from his mother.
Mm-mm.
A woman was literally doing some gardening, and she had her four young children with her. She turned her back, and the chimp took the child by the hand and ran off.
That is so disturbing.
Very scary. Since then, there's been other attacks on children. I mean, and they're not eating them. They're just like taking out their organs and things.
Yeah, but just taking out their organs.
But this is how a chimp will defend itself. And remember, We learned from the guy at Chimp Eden that apparently what male chimpanzees do when they're attacking a human male and they feel threatened by you, they immediately pull off your balls and your penis.
I'd forgotten about
that. Yeah, because that's how they emasculate you. They remove, and they're very vicious things. I mean, a chimp is extremely strong.
Mm.
They have a much more powerful body size and weight ratio to power. Like a chimpanzee can do massive damage to you. So you don't mess with those things.
Also in Uganda, it's illegal to kill chimps. And that's because they are...
They're protected.
They're endangered, yeah.
Well, you remember the guy also said to us that chimpanzees are way more dangerous than baboons.
Yes.
He said he would much rather be locked in a cage with a baboon than a chimpanzee.
Yes. Pretty scary stuff.
Chimps are also clever.
That's the thing, is they're sociable, they're communicable, they're extremely intelligent. They're known to use tools to smash nuts open.
And they can be cannibals.
Scoop water.
They can be cannibals.
They can be, yes.
They sometimes kill each other in these violent attacks and take out like members of their own tribe. So chimpanzees, not your friends.
Any chimpanzee, a cannibal, can be...
Yes, there we go. That's the song, isn't it? That's the one you wrote. That was a hit song in what, 2012?
12, yes.
That's a good one. How does it go again?
Any chimpanzee, a cannibal, can be...
That's right. Oh, what a hit song that was.
And that was the only line, I'm afraid. It's all I've got and it's all I had.
It was a work in progress. Yeah. All right, very good. That's all we got time for now. When we come back, we're going to find out a little bit about Section 12J companies from Darren Folds, who's Meta Capital Fund Manager. And we're going to find out about the next generation of 12J. You remember we've spoken to Jeff Miller, who's the CEO of Grovest, a couple of times. And we're going to fill you in on the next generation, find out what goes on at Meta Capital and what exactly those investments could mean for you. So stick around. Your chance to be filled in on all of that useful information. That's next. A lot of people thinking about the end of the year already. A lot of people planning holidays, taking a break, thinking about things that have nothing to do with work. But if you're one of those people who's slightly disappointed by that, like me, I can't believe that this country is so lazy that we've gone. Everybody's on skeleton staff. They're all on a go slow from the middle of November. It's ridiculous. And nothing gets done for November and December. And we've got a whole month, maybe even a month and a half of solid work to do. And we're all like, holidays. Well, this morning, we are ready for episode 3 of the Next Generation Section 12J discussion. You will remember that this is the third edition in our series with Grovest, which is all about filling you in on more of the information that you might want to know about Section 12J. Now, we kick things off with a conversation with the CEO of Grovest, Jeff Miller, to teach you more about Section 12J. And the Income Tax, the Income Tax Act, rather, 58 of 1962. And last month, we heard from Jeff again to discuss why it's better to invest in a Section 12J instead of taking your money offshore. Now, to remind you, in case you've missed any of this, Section 12J was legislated by the South African government to encourage taxpayers to invest in local companies and receive 100% tax deduction in the value of their investment. The investor, in return, receives a Section 12J tax certificate and venture capital shares, and the invested amount can be deducted from the taxable income of that investor in the year that which the investment is made. So whether you're interested in setting up, looking for someone to finance or administer your venture capital company, cliffcentral.com has managed to discover a company called Grovest. They're quite well known. You can look them up. They can be your innovative Section 12J specialist, corporate advisory and finance partner. And today we have Darren Folds in. He's a Meta Capital Fund Manager to discuss the next generation of Section 12J. So Darren, welcome. It's nice to see you.
Thanks, Gaz. Very nice to be here.
Yeah, cool, man. And you're a chartered accountant. You joined Meta Capital in what, the first half of 2018?
Yeah, that's correct. So I did a secondment over in San Francisco after qualifying.
That's a good place to go and do some venture capital.
Absolutely. And I did give me a bit of an appetite and a bit of a lust for private equity venture capital. Obviously, completely different scale over there. But coming back to SA, I'm looking to find a very similar type role. And Section 12J is really private equity VC at a bit of a smaller scale. So,
well, what makes this exciting is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but apparently it's the fastest growing alternative investment class in South Africa at the moment.
Absolutely. No, it really is. And even better so that it's a government incentive and a government initiative.
Yeah, because we do give government the gears about how little they do for business. But this is a good example of how not only do they have an interest in giving you a tax benefit, but they also want to encourage the growth of local businesses.
Absolutely. And I think, and look, any tax deduction is a way that government incentivizes behavior. And so government here are incentivizing taxpayers to firstly keep their money onshore and secondly redirect it into the heart of the economy, which is SMEs, and especially into sectors that have high growth and high job creation. And that's kind of what the permissible trades are within Section 12J. So government really have put together a really comprehensive plan on how South African taxpayers can actually be part of the growth story going out of this, unfortunately, long-term slump that we're in.
So, Darren, let's talk about that slump, because there are certain barriers that exist, and if you can overcome them, it could lead to another wave of investment capital flowing into Section 12J. Absolutely. What are those barriers?
So I think there's two main barriers. One is the abundance of choice now that investors have in Section 12J. I mean, you're looking at close to 165 VCCs that you could invest into to obtain the tax break. So you, as an investor into this asset class, are now, you know, could just be put off by the amount of choice that you have. Secondly, is the affordability behind it. You know, the accessibility for a taxpayer to invest into these 12Js, they often carry minimums between 200,000 to 500,000, some even a million rand above. So firstly, if you wanted to invest in one, it's an accessibility issue. And secondly, if you want to be diversified across the asset class, again, you need high quantums of investment to feel that you're adequately diversified within the Section 12J space. So those are the two kind of barriers we've seen in the market. And I think Meta Capital looks to overcome those to facilitate the next wave of capital.
All right. What is the biggest misconception about Section 12J?
Sure. I think the biggest misconception is that it's strictly venture capital or an investment into strictly entrepreneurs. So, you know, you kind of have that VC headspace where if I make 10 investments, 8 will go bust, 2 will be amazing. Here, 12J has really moved towards private equity, small scale private equity with some venture capital in it. So you really, as an investor, have that choice on what risk profile you want to take. Right. So I think it's often bucketed as a venture capital, high risk investment. Yeah. But I think where it's moved towards is very much traditional type investments into asset-backed investment strategies like brick and mortar assets in property, contractual assets in terms of renewable energy. So you're looking at mitigating a lot of your risk through making an investment that you feel much more comfortable with and ones that you make on a regular basis in the listed space.
How does Meta Capital work, and how is Meta Capital pioneering this next evolution in Section 12J?
So we spoke about the two barriers being, you know, affordable diversification and how do I limit my choice, or how do I make the right investment decision with such an abundance of choice available. Meta Capital is South Africa's first portfolio of 12J funds offering. So what we do, we're an aggregated product vehicle.
Like an index.
Exactly right. Like a mutual fund or aggregated product that you see in the listed space. So you would invest into it. Satrix Top 40 to give yourself diversification across the leading companies.
And then you don't have to think about, oh my God, I've put all my money into, let's say, this hospitality business.
Absolutely.
And it might not be working, and then what happens to your investment?
For sure. So on the barrier side of one, we make that decision for you. We have a very...
How often do you rebalance this fund?
So because of the liquidity constraints with Section 12J, we pick a portfolio every year and we ring fence it and raise money into it per tax year. So now, for instance, this tax year, we've picked six funds within our Meta Capital Monitors Fund 3 portfolio. We're taking it forward into the Feb 20 tax year. We'll raise money into it from the public and through our approved distribution partners. Again, wealth managers who don't want to go do that process and rely on a multi-manager system.
Give me an example of the kind of stuff that gets into this portfolio?
Sure. So currently we have funds in the renewable energy space. So we have two funds out of the six in the renewable energy space. So it makes up close to 28% of our portfolio.
That's a nice area to be in.
It's a fantastic area to be in. We have strictly hospitality in the student accommodation space. So we partner with Westbrook Stack, who form part of our portfolio. And another one is hospitality in the tourism space. We're involved in a development now in Rosebank with the Voco Hotel, which is a really world-renowned brand, and its first iterations being launched in South Africa in Rosebank. And actually, the 12J is the funding partner behind that, as opposed to traditional bank finance.
Amazing.
So those are the kind of, you know, asset classes within our Moderatorist fund, and we call it Moderatorist because we look at building portfolios based on the most mitigated type investment vehicles that have asset-backed, that generate cash flows on the back of those assets for two things. One, it has a predictability side of it. You know, you can predict cash flows that are generated from assets. And two, it has a very clear pathway to liquidity. You can sell an asset, realize value, and return capital to investors. So if we go back to the second question on the misconceptions of 12J, a lot of people feel like there is no exit strategy involved. So you invest, and how do I actually get my capital out? We think we pick strategies that have a very clear exit liquidity profile, which hopefully helps investors.
Is there a limit to the time you can be in?
So the only limitation is that you should hold your investment for 5 years to make your tax deduction permanent. So if you sell your investment within the 5 years or sell those shares, it is liquid and it is permissible, but you would be liable for the recoupment of that tax deduction.
Right. Okay, now there's this thing you guys talk about called uncorrelation, and there are uncorrelation benefits to Section 12J. What are they, and what is uncorrelation to start with?
Yeah, absolutely. So uncorrelation really in the investment space is saying, look, if I invest in one asset class as opposed to another or into both, how do they correlate to each other? So if I invest into the listed equity space and into the private equity space, are they going to move at the same pace, at the same direction, etc.? So, you know, moving into an alternative asset class, I think the big benefit has always been uncorrelation. If Trump tweets something about the US-China trade war, your listed portfolio might be impacted.
So you're saying it's like, for example, how gold is unrelated to what's going on in the stock market?
For sure, absolutely. In fact,
or
it's
cryptocurrencies and gold.
Correct. Yeah, and crypto, a great example, is uncorrelated to most asset classes. So, you know, if Trump treats someone on the trade war, your listed pension fund on your portfolio might be impacted. But the renewable energy asset that's been built on this
unrelated.
Exactly, corporate industrial complex is completely unrelated. So that's the uncorrelation benefits that we try to explain to wealth managers who advise clients, is that this can actually benefit them being uncorrelated to the market that they invest in.
Well, yeah, then you're not tied to the vagaries of what goes on in politics or in currencies. Or
absolutely, you're absolutely right. And look, it has a place. You know, I think South African investors have always been primarily listed equities and property focused. I think it's the cultural beings of who we are. And I think we have a lot of scope to move into different asset classes. And when you understand the benefits, especially of uncorrelation, it makes that leap a bit easier.
All right, finally, what is the importance of diversifying your Section 12J investments? And when we say diversifying, we're talking about some of it in hospitality, some of it in renewables, some of it in more traditional areas.
Absolutely. So I think diversity on two things. One, diversity across sectors within the asset class, so as you mentioned there. And two, diversity across fund managers, which really are the jockeys behind. So you have diversity across not just the sector, but different fund managers who bring in different skill sets and different key personnel, etc. So you have a twofold diversity. And what's nice is Meta tries to bring that through at an affordable basis. So we have a minimum of R500,000. And you can have access to six funds and bypass their own minimum. So we're trying to make it more accessible for the greater market to be involved, and also to have that diversity so they feel more comfortable that they adequately spread across the asset class.
So we've done a little research on you, and I found out that you're an avid golfer and you currently play off a one handicap. Is this true?
It is true. It is true. I wish I could play a little bit more and try to get that.
No, but listen, I mean, are people going to come up to you on the golf course and ask you about Section 12J?
In fact, they do. They do. I kind of wish it was the other way around and people in Section 12J asked about golf.
All right. Well, you don't mind giving the free advice?
Absolutely not. Sure. No worries.
All right. Well, good luck to you.
Thank
Meta
you.
Capital sounds very interesting. And I do encourage people to, at very least, do a little research around Section 12J, find out whether or not it's something for you. And in a climate where people are trying to save on having to pay taxes, this is a great way to do it. If you believe in investing in the local economy and you want some solid returns, this is something to look at.
Absolutely. Yeah,
awesome.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you very much. That's Darren Foltz. Very nice to talk to you. And that is the Section 12J discussion, which we're continuing with Grovest. And we'll have one or two more episodes of that. So stick around on cliffcentral.com for more.
Cliffcentral.com.